You think of, that is not the right slide. If that's the one I sent, you can go ahead and turn it off, because then that's my fault, brother. I apologize for that. We'll leave the one word up. I thought I'd sent the right one. When you think of the word fellowship, what comes to mind? Casseroles? Somebody said it. Eating, right? That's usually how I love participation during my sermon. But that's usually what we think about. We think about eating. We think about casserole dishes. We think about sitting around the table, perhaps, after an afternoon meal of our Triple E groups and enjoying some quality time together. But really, that's a small part of what the word fellowship means in relation to how we are as God's children. When you think about several times the word that we see fellowship in, it's always in relation to a joining together of people. When you think about Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, concerning the apostles, and it said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship of joining together, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." We think about what it means to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ, 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when I think about the word fellowship, the first word that comes to my mind is unity. Because really, that's what fellowship is. It's a unification or a joining together of a group of people for one particular cause, one particular point, or one particular doctrine. So obviously, when we think about fellowship, it's a joining together of people, of like-minded folks of the same faith, talking about the same things, really. But when you think about it in relation to what it means to be unified in the body of Christ, the Bible tells us we are unified once we're baptized into the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. Unity is not something that we develop or something that we bring about. Rather, God unifies us in the body or in the blood of Christ. But what God demands of us, just as we read about in the New Testament, is that God demands that we maintain unity, or rather that we maintain fellowship one with another. But the thing that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we do that? You see, in the grand scheme of things, I really think sometimes when we rank the importance of things that we do in the church, sometimes unification or unity ranks rather low upon our list. Because really, if we think about it, that's one of the most important things we do, is that we're unified, not only in body and spirit, but that we're unified in doctrine and the way that we go about doing things. You see, we're not supposed to have fellowship with the world, because the world walks in darkness. We're to cast off those things that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. So what Paul is saying here to the Corinthian church is, you have to cast off individuals concerning fellowship, or those who you're not united with concerning the same way in which you're walking in Christ. So it's extremely important when we think about fellowship or unification that we're all on the same page, and how it's important for us to maintain unity. So the first point is, why is unity so important then? When Jesus prayed for all of those who believed in Him, when He was praying to the Father in John chapter 17, He was praying that they may all be one in God. That is, He wants us to be unified, to have the same fellowship. Well, turn your Bibles to John chapter 17 with me for just a moment, and let's read a few verses together in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Jesus is going to give the reason here for what it means to be one in God, and why He's praying the most important prayer that we read about really in the Bible. Because here's Jesus, knowing His fate that's before Him and what He's about to have to do, He's praying that the world is going to be unified, walking in fellowship because of who He is, based upon why God sent Him. And He wants all of His disciples to be one, to be unified. But notice what Jesus prays here in John 17, verse 20. Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may all be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." Why? Because we, God, are unified because of who You are and what You sent Me to do. "And that the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as You and I, Father, are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved Me." And He goes on to say, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may believe or behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." God, I want the world to see the unification that the children, that Your children have, based upon how You and I are in fellowship and walking with each other, that we are one. That word "one" is extremely important in the Bible. You think about that in relation to marriage, what God talks about. And they twain shall be one flesh, the joining together, the fellowship of a husband and wife. When we become one with Christ, that is, when we're born into the church, rather when we're born again of water and the Spirit, John chapter 3, when we put on Christ in baptism, we become one with the church in relation to what Jesus has done for us. So when we put on Christ, we're putting away the old man, we're becoming a new creature because we want to be unified or joined together in fellowship the way that Jesus walks with the Father. So why is unity so important? The unity of believers, brethren, is a testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ. Because if the world doesn't believe that we are unified and walking in fellowship, how in the world are they then going to follow Him if we ourselves can't get along and walk together? The word fellowship is extremely important for us to understand the concept, because if we're not joined together, when the world sees disunity, brethren, they're less likely to believe on Him. Jesus said that the world may believe on us, Father, you and me, based upon how they walk together as people. So we can't be butting heads or going against each other, allowing matters of indifference or opinions to split the body of Christ, as it happens many times because of what the world does to us and what Satan tries to do to us all the time. You see, when believers can't get along with one another, it prevents the world from believing in Christ. If you want the world to hear and believe the good news, then one of the things you must do is be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in Christ, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Why? Because when you think about the word church concerning what it means to be called out, and I think sometimes that's a misnomer the way we look at that. Because when we think about the word ecclesia, it means to be called out of the world, but sometimes the connotation that gets applied to that, not an etymology of the word because we really have to look contextually at how it's written, but what we're thinking about in the Greek word, to be called out, we think about being separate. But we're not to be separate in relation to who we are as Christians. It means that we have to walk differently than the world walks. So when you think about the church, the one church, the true body of Jesus Christ, because we are one body, that means we have to be one and the same, right? Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, that there be no divisions among you, that you be rightly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, teaching and preaching the same things. So if we're to be unified and walking in fellowship, as John talks about in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it means that we have to be unified in the body and in spirit. Something that we have to maintain, something that we have to work on. And we all know sometimes that's not always easy because we allow our opinions to get in the way. Sometimes we allow our things that we want to do, rather, or scruples or whatever connotation you want to put on that, we allow things to impede the way the church should come together and be one, united in Jesus Christ. Because the church in and of itself, and when you think about the church being that separatist as the world wants us to be, we tend to think of it as a good thing to separate ourselves from everybody. But doesn't the world, obviously we're not walking in fellowship because of what they believe and teach, but should not the world look at us to see us walking together because that's what they want to be a part of? That they see us unified and together. And I remember when I was in Alabama, we had an issue, believe it or not, with Facebook. Can you believe that? But we had some people posting things on Facebook and basically talking about members in the church. You see, there's a problem with that, right? Because it's not only people in the church that are seeing that, it's people in the world that are seeing it too. So as they're talking about each other on Facebook for the world to see, the world doesn't see unification and they see something of which they don't want to be a part. That's a problem. Because when we reflect the Son of Jesus Christ, when we reflect His light into the world, when that light is reflected back, do they see Jesus in us in whom we're trying to shine the light as? Because Jesus said, Father, I pray that your disciples, that your children are one as you and I are one. Because this was His fervent prayer that we are sanctified and we walk together according to the truth, John 17 and verse 17. But as the church, as the body of believers, we have to be unified and that we have to have fellowship because we preach and teach and we do the same things because of that unification. So here's the question then, concerning fellowship, how do we maintain that? And who is it then that I don't or that I'm not supposed to keep fellowship with, right? That's the question we need to ask sometimes. Well, again, we go back to Paul, and he says we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, talking about the pagan false teachers that were coming in and trying to tear apart the Corinthian church. He said, don't put yourself in the same class as those individuals because they're going to tear you apart and tear apart the fellowship that you enjoy as believers in Christ. So don't walk with them. He also says in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 33 that evil communications corrupts good manners. So we have to be careful of who we walk in step with concerning fellowship to make sure that they're not being a bad influence upon us. But at the same time, we cannot shun the world because we have the responsibility of the Great Commission, do we not? So when we walk in fellowship, we have to be good examples of whom we're walking with. If they're teaching something contrary to the doctrine of Christ, we cannot be in fellowship with them because they don't teach and believe the same things. But that doesn't mean then we cannot try and maintain unity within ourselves that we might later, what? Encourage them to come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We do not create Christian unity, brethren, because unity was created when in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Again, we become one body in Jesus Christ. But there are some things that we've got to do within the body to maintain unity that the world needs to see us doing on a regular basis. Number one, we've got to be humble. We can't allow pride to get in the way because sometimes, don't we always want to be right? Right? Because we're human beings, men, we're really bad at this, aren't we? We want to be right. We want to make sure that it's our opinion is what matters. But sometimes when it comes to the body of Christ, we have to be humble and realize that some things really aren't that important. We've also got to be gentle. We've got to be kind. And most importantly, 1 Corinthians 13, we've got to be loving. Brethren, the world and the church would be a much better place if we would truly learn the concept of what it means to love as Christians. Because if we are to be one just as Christ is one with the Father, then we understand what true love and true devotion is. But we've got to bear one another in love, right? Teaching the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And we've also got to hold fast to the word that was preached by the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. We can't bear away from that, but we also have to understand that we cannot quarrel over opinions. Paul gives a lengthy discourse of this in Romans chapter 14, because sometimes we allow our opinions and we think that they're doctrine and that they're truth when they're not. We can't allow our opinions to dictate how we stay unified in the body of Christ. Because, brethren, when it comes down to it, our opinions really don't mean that much when it comes to eternity in heaven. That is, we have to keep those things to ourselves sometimes. If you're strong, we've got to bear with the failings of the weak, Romans 15 and verse 1. And maintaining unity is relational as much as it is doctrinal. Relationships are a very important part of our life as Christians. And how do we maintain those relationships? And how do we maintain unity? We've got to be humble, we've got to be patient, we've got to be gentle, we've got to be loving and kind, and we must be unified in doctrine. And we must not only teach it as doctrine, but we truly have to live it as doctrine as well. Because when people see us living how we walk, then we reflect Jesus. That's what it means to be unified in Christ. But also, let me stress this point. We've got to hold the line when it comes to the truth. We don't deviate from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if individuals don't want to walk according to what the gospel says to be unified with us, brethren, they cannot have fellowship with us. Because those that teach things contrary to what the Bible says aren't for God, but rather they're against God. And as hard as that is for us to grasp and get a hold of sometimes, especially if it's family members, perhaps because they're in a denomination or something other than the Lord's church, they're outside in the world, and they don't believe what we believe, we have to walk in step and we have to maintain the line of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot stray from that. And sometimes because we teach the truth, the world then thinks we're not unified or in fellowship. That's furthest from the truth. Because the only people or person that matters that we're unified with is God Himself. Because if we're unified according to His standards and what the Bible says, are we not all then unified together? Absolutely. You see, usually it's not the doctrine that trips individuals up when it comes to fellowship. It's our pride and opinions that does it. It's what we allowed as tradition to get in the way sometimes of us being joined together. We've got to stick together. Remember, the reason unity is so important is that the world may believe. And if the world sees us all believing and doing the same things, then they know that we're unified in one cause, in one faith, in one body, in one baptism, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's the most important thing. None of this is to say that we should overlook sin and rebellion. I'm not saying that. That's obviously something that we address as the case comes up. But it's certainly not to say that everybody who claims to be a Christian is actually a Christian, or that biblical doctrine should ever be overlooked or dismissed. I'm not saying that at all. But it's simply to say that unity must be one of the highest priorities for us as we are Christians. because the world has to see us together as a family, not against each other as disunity. Too often we have the attitude, well, I'd rather be right with myself than wrong with the group. Well, I agree with that and I disagree with that. Let me tell you why. We have to have the attitude, I'd rather be right with you, and I'm going to do whatever's necessary to make sure that we get it right. Because here's what often happens. And I can give you case in point. I have a good friend of mine that I went to preaching school with that has gone the way of false teaching, I guess you can say, in some things. Things that I totally disagree with. Very smart individual, had a lot of potential. But it's also an individual that I maintain a relationship and that we talk. I don't agree with what he's teaching, but I maintain the relationship in relation to how I'm hoping that that opens the door to the possibility of us being unified again based upon what the Bible says. Will I be unified on what he teaches? No, but I'm hoping that he comes to an understanding of what the Bible teaches as correctly and not as his opinion as he thinks. You see, it doesn't mean that I'm completely slamming the door on him as an individual because I love him as a soul, because I care for his eternity. But it also means that I'm willing to come down and sit at the table with him that we might open the Bible together and learn what it tells us exactly what we need to do. But it doesn't mean that we forsake doctrine. So quickly, I think sometimes with those who automatically disagree with us, we do this and we say, I'm done. But is that what Jesus did with the Pharisees? Jesus could have said, all of you guys are wrong with what you teach concerning love and doctrine. You've got everything all mixed up. You've got everything all wrong, so therefore I'm done with you. But that's not what he does. When they ask him a question, he says, why do you ask that? First, he knew their hearts. Second, he wanted to know their intentions. Are your intentions good that you truly want to learn? Or are you just simply trying to push me into a corner and start a fight? Some people, unfortunately, do have that intention. And you know that from the very get-go when you sit down and talk with them. Some people simply want to pick a fight with you to cause problem. I'm not about that. But I'm more than happy to discuss the Bible with you all day long if you're willing to listen to the truth. And that's what we have to do when it comes to fellowship and to be unified. When we're already together, unified in Christ, brethren, we've got to stick together. Because I can tell you this, there's not a lot of us in this world. When it comes to being Bible believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon what He did for us at Calvary, heaven's not going to be overcrowded. So don't we need to be unified while we're here on this earth, walking together, speaking the truth in love? Because when we're divided, brethren, we've got to figure out how the gospel and the truth and grace can bring us together so that we can be one, even as the Father in Christ were one, because that's the ultimate goal. Because guess what? We want to be in eternity forever together. That's what it means to me when I think about the word fellowship. I love casseroles as much as anybody else. And I love to eat just as much as anybody else. But that's really a very small, minute portion of what it means to have fellowship as we walk with Jesus Christ. And when we have fellowship with Christ because we're walking with Him, unified in Christ, brethren, that's a beautiful thing to behold. But sometimes if we would set aside our own wants and own opinions, the church would be a much better place. Because really what it comes down to is not what I want, but what's best for the church. That's the first question we have to ask ourselves anytime we feel that we might be walking out of step with one another. Is this going to be good for the church? And I've seen too many people allow their pride and opinions to get in the way and to ruin the body of Christ. I've seen it personally, brethren, I can tell you, and it's not a pretty thing. All because of what somebody wants or that they felt they were left out. What's more important, going to heaven or, as in this particular case, the color of the flowers in the flower bed? See, those things really don't matter when it comes in looking for what we have to look forward to. We have to realize that fellowship is walking with one another based upon what Jesus Christ did for you and I. That's the most important thing. And we want you to walk in fellowship with us if you're not a member of the church. You see, because right now you're walking out of step and outside. But we want you to be on the inside with us as a family, as one body. But there's something that you've got to do. Nobody can do it for you. It's a step that you have to make to be in fellowship with the church. You've got to be willing to allow the Lord to add you to His church. He wants to do that, but it's based upon if you're willing to accept the gospel as truth. Right? The Bible tells us we've got to believe. It tells us we've got to accept the gospel as truth, and then we've got to be willing to repent of our sins, confess faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. And if you're willing to do that tonight, the Lord will add you to His body, to His church. You don't place membership in it. There's no dues or anything like that. But the Lord is willing and ready and wanting to add you to the Lord's church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And with that, because we're added together, we follow the commandments of Acts 2:42. And we continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Why? Because we're unified. We're in fellowship. And if you're here tonight and you're not in step with what God is telling you to do, you can get back in step with what He wants you to do. But the decision is yours. And we certainly want to pray with you tonight. We want to encourage you that you might be in fellowship and unifying together as one body of believers. Or maybe you just might be discouraged. Maybe it is that you're hurting or you don't feel like that you're part of the family. And if that's the case, we need to fix that. And whatever we've got to do to fix that, we want to do it tonight as together we stand and as we sing.